Blog Talk Radio.
You are now connected to the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Taking on 2,000 years of indoctrination, 2 hours at a time.
Sink or swim, deep end information.
Asking questions no one else will.
Parabiblical research, spiritual technology, personal empowerment.
Be your own guru.
Master your own ascension.
Guide your own spirit.
And now, showing you how, the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Well, good morning. It is Wednesday, July the 1st. We're halfway through 2015. Who would believe it, right? I'm Jeffrey Dardy. I'm coming to you from the East Coast of the United States, where it's now 10 o'clock in the morning. And I just want to say hello to some people that have been listening and visiting the website. Last month, June, we had our largest month ever in terms of visitors, and I'd like to say thank you to some folks that I haven't seen a lot, but we want to recognize you, all of you in Liverpool, Great Britain. Thank you for listening. Thank you for visiting the website. All of you in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, I've been there. Thank you for listening. Thank you for visiting. Those of you in Fremont, California, of course, the Silicon Valley, thank you so much for listening in and visiting. Mexico City, Mexico, thank you very much, a beautiful city. And also those of you in South Bend, I believe that is Indiana. My matrix is not that accurate. But thank you very much, new followers, new listeners. New visitors, and I'm just very, very gratified. I mean, look at that, Great Britain, Saudi Arabia, Mexico, Midwest U.S., West Coast U.S., and, you know, the statistics here aren't that great, and then it just says 37% others, so I'm not trying to skip anybody or omit anybody, but I did want to say hello to those folks that are new or that have visited here lately. And thank you so much for making last month the biggest month on the JeffreyDardy.com, ChristianWhistleblower.com. It's great to know that there's actually some people listening, actually some people reading. I have put some new things on the site. If you notice on the front page, there's now a WWJD tab. That doesn't mean what you think it means. The WWJD tab is the written words of Jeffrey Dardy. It's a collection of articles published by me, and you can click on those articles. Things like Human Reptilian Mystery Solved from the Bible, End of the World as We Knew It, and I Feel Fine, The Magical World of L. Ron Hubbard, Crop Circles, Tell Time of Nibiru Arrival. That's just some of them there. Also on the front page, you're going to find the new, it's not actually new, but it's Jeff's Simple Chakra Mantra. It's an audio file. It's a little over 10 minutes, and it's a great daily mantra for opening up your chakras, for getting all the good energy from the divine in, for getting yourself unblocked and unplugged, and for also enabling your energetic additions to be broadcast out into the world as well. It's the Simple Chakra Mantra audio file. I've mailed out thousands of these on a card form. But this is, you know, kind of like those guided meditations. I talk you through how to do the Simple Chakra Mantra. Like I said, it's about 11 minutes. Nice little audio file. That's available to you for any donation. Just click on the donate button. $1, $5, $10, $20, $50, $100, $500, $400, $300, going on, whatever you want. It's yours. We also have a place there on the front page that shows you all of the shows, the Fresh Daily Show. That's the one we're doing now, 10 a.m. Eastern. Ask question, question, answers. That comes up at noon here also as well. Now, that one's on Spreaker. And then the Pure Prophecy comes up Sunday nights at 11 p.m. on here on Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, the flagship, the Christian Whistleblower Show, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. tonight. That's on IPBNFM.com. Just go to my website and you'll be able to check that out. That's tonight. And I was going to do a show called The First Psychopath, but with what's been happening in the news here lately, I have decided to do a show that I'm calling Rainbow False Flag. So you want to tune into that 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific for a two-hour show on the Rainbow False Flag. Now, also, of course, we have Religion Watch Daily, a great compilation of articles. And it's funny to me, people will write me and yell at me for these articles, and it clearly says that I did not write most of these. 99.999% of these I didn't write. They're just religious news items or news that relate to religion. And people send me three-page emails screaming at me for the content of the article. That's like yelling at the mailman because he brings you a bill, yelling at the mail lady because she brings you a breakup letter from your mate. I didn't write these things. I'm just compiling them because they are of religious interest. So at least read before you unload your multi-page emails, because frankly, I don't have time to read them if they're of that type of a spirit. But some interesting things here, like the ancient text that describes Jesus as a shapeshifter. And there's no doubt he definitely was a shapeshifter. Now, that doesn't mean he was some weird alien. That just means that as an Elohim, he had the ability to appear and disappear at will and to translocate. He once in the Bible went about 90 miles in just a few seconds, and without a helicopter, or even with a helicopter back in those days, that would have been impossible. There's several places in Scripture where crowds were descending on him to kill him, and he just disappeared or just passed right through their midst. Yeshua was a shapeshifter. I don't know about plastic Jesus, but Yeshua was definitely a shapeshifter, and that just means he was an Elohim. There's another article here that I thought was very interesting. 9 facts you know for sure about Jesus, they say, that are probably wrong. And it's a very interesting article. They said there's no way he had long hair. I don't know about plastic Jesus, but Yeshua, I'm pretty sure, did have long hair. They talked about, was he crucified on a pole or on a cross? My answer to that one is neither. And the rest of them, they're pretty right on with, except for question number 4 is, who cares? So take a look at that, 9 facts. And remember, when everybody knows something, it's time to question it. Was the Wizard of Oz a spiritual analogy? I found this fascinating. Fascinating. The Wizard of Oz, if you look at it, if you read it, it really is a spiritual analogy. I don't know if it's quite in the realm of the Matrix, but it's very much a spiritual analogy. Very interesting to look at. This article discusses that. Only 1 in 4 Americans think Obama may be the Antichrist, and that's, again, all about this future fear and loathing matrix they have created, they being the powers that be, big-time religion, the religions of the Lord. But you get the idea. Those are some of the articles that we have on Religion Watch Daily. And today, we are going to get back into more plastic Jesus. Now, we talked yesterday about how there's a gap in the revelation of the New Testament from about AD 68 all the way till AD 90. We talked about what happened within that gap, and of course what happened within that gap was the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. And we discussed how the city of Jerusalem was the center and power base for the Yeshua movement. And when Jerusalem was destroyed, the power base of the original Jesus movement was likewise destroyed. And this allowed Paul's new religion to thrive unopposed for the most part because of the destruction of Jerusalem. And we asked the question and looked at the possibilities. This was on yesterday's Fresh Daily Show, of possible that part of the reason for the destruction of Jerusalem was the annihilation of the original Yeshua movement. Interesting, interesting, interesting. So we took a look at all that, and today we're going to kind of move into looking at the destruction of Jerusalem, looking at the destruction of Jerusalem in perhaps a different way than you've ever heard it discussed, and it's the way that it's plainly and openly revealed in the biblical text. Now, today we are victim of this left-behind mentality. Of course, the latest manifestation of that, and of course, a Fresh Daily Show brought to you by Fresh Daily Co., gourmet coffee and skateboards, FreshDailyCo.com. I was reminded by the sip of Fresh Daily Coffee that I just treated myself to. The left-behind theology, the latest manifestation of that is the very forgettable, from what I understand, movie by Nicolas Cage. I didn't watch it. I refused to. But this whole left-behind theology that there's going to be, you know, some future Antichrist, some future rapture, and they have this other thing they talk about a lot called the abomination of desolation. And it comes out of Daniel chapter 9, verses 26 through 27. But in reality, it has nothing at all to do with this thing, this person, this being that they call the Antichrist. Nothing whatsoever to do with the Antichrist, as Daniel chapter 9 and verse 16 or 26 and 27. And people are, if you know anything about the Bible, you're saying, wait a second. He's saying that Daniel 9, 26 through 27 has nothing to do with the Antichrist. That's exactly what he's saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's something that we've been taught to believe because it furthers the narrative and the revised timeline that they created. After 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off. The people of the prince that shall come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof will be of a war where desolations are determined. That has nothing to do with Antichrist. It has to do with Yeshua. He is the Messiah. He's cut off, or his work is cut short. The people of the prince that shall come destroy the city and the sanctuary. That's obviously the Roman army. And the desolation, the abomination of desolation, relates directly to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. And we're going to see here in a few minutes, Luke makes it very, very clear and very, very plain for us. And when we get into verse 27, and this isn't an exhaustive exposition, and verse 27 says that he, and that's speaking of Messiah, will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the covenant, he causes sacrifice and oblation to cease. And that's speaking of Yeshua. Appears he was initially going to spend 7 years in Judea, but in the middle of that time, he did, in fact, cause oblation and sacrifice to cease. He went into the temple, stopped the sacrifice of animals, stopped the giving of money, which is the oblation, and when he overturned all the tables of the change makers there and set free all the sacrificial animals. So that's clearly about Yeshua, not about Antichrist. And big time religion has convinced you to believe that those verses, which are actually about Yeshua, they've convinced you that they're about Antichrist. And what a sickening turn of events that is. But this whole idea about the Antichrist, this whole idea about a rebuilt temple, this whole idea about restoring the or destroying the Dome of the Rock and restoring the temple on that site, it's all stupid. That's just stupid, fear-mongering garbage created by big-time religion. Now, what makes more sense? That Yeshua planned a seven-year mission, if you will, in Jerusalem. In the middle of it, he did stop the sacrifice and the giving of money in the temple, just like it says he would. What makes more sense? That that happened, which is exactly what the text reveals, or that the Jews are going to blow up the Dome of the Rock, build a new temple, the Antichrist is going to go in there and do something terrible, and that's going to be the abomination of desolation. How about we just follow what the Bible says? It makes it just that simple. It makes it just that easy. It makes it so much more comprehensible and makes it so much easier to understand. And, you know, let's just go ahead and look at the rest of this verse. I mean, we're this far into it, and I know a lot of people are probably asking questions because it's a very, very unconventional interpretation I'm giving. So Daniel 9:26, after 62 weeks, which is 3.5 years in literal terms, Messiah will be cut off. His mission is cut short. And he, the people of the prince that shall come will destroy the sanctuary. Of course, that's the Roman army under Titus who did destroy the sanctuary. And desolations are determined. That's the abomination of desolation. We'll get even more into that. And he, that being the Messiah or Yeshua, he confirms the covenant with many for 1 week or for 7 years. And we see that after 3.5, he did stop the he did stop the sacrifice and the oblation. The sacrifice is the killing of animals in the temple. The oblation was the giving of money for the killing of animals in the temple. And Yeshua did cause both of those to stop when he marched into the temple on Passover, turned over the temple's changers' money tables, and set all the animals free. And he caused the sacrifice to cease. He caused the abomination to cease. And then it says, for the overspreading of abomination, he'll make it desolate, even until the consummation that determined upon the people, determined shall be poured upon the desolate. What in the world does that mean? That's some confusing language. Well, let's just break it down into, from the original Hebrew into modern English, so we can just read and understand exactly what that means, okay? And for the overspreading of abomination, what in the world is that? The overspreading of abominations, what that means is the buzzing of flies. Perfect sense. With all of the sacrifice going on in the temple, they didn't have AC back in those days, folks. And with all of that bloodshed, with all of that awful, with all, you know, O-F-F-A-L, with all of the guts and things laying around, it brought a tremendous amount of flies. The buzzing of flies are there because of the death in the temple. And then the next verse says that for the overspreading of abominations, and then it says he'll make it desolate even until the consummation. And what this is talking about is very weird language. It actually is saying that the beating of the wings of the cherubim of the winged disc, which really is the ageless Lord, will make such desolation, he stops the death and blood and sacrifice and the blood cult of the Lord. He's cutting off the beating of the wings of the cherubim of the winged disc. He's cutting off such desolation until the cutting in money of this horror ceases. I know it's a little confusing, but that's the literal rendering of the verses. So it has nothing to do with Antichrist, and Luke makes it very, very clear to us what the abomination of desolation is, and he removes all of the doubt. Luke says, when you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, know that its desolation is at hand. When you see Jerusalem compassed about or surrounded by armies, know that its desolation is at hand. That's Luke 21 and 20. It makes it very, very clear exactly what the abomination of desolation was. But let's take it one more step. So I know I'm upsetting a lot of religious apple carts right now, but let's look at Matthew 24. We'll compare that to the passage we just read in Luke, and it becomes crystal clear what the abomination desolation was. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 15. Matthew 24, verse number 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. When you will see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel stand in the holy place. It's referring back to Daniel 9:27, which we just read. And the abomination of desolation is when the people of the prince that will come, the Roman army, Titus, come in, destroy the city and the sanctuary, and it makes it into an abomination. Its abominations are determined upon the desolate. The abomination is the desolate, destroyed city. That's very, very clear. Yeshua here in Matthew 24:15 says, when you see this abomination of desolation, when you see the city destroyed, when you see the city about to be destroyed, when you see these things taking place, the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. Well, Jeff, doesn't that mean that the Antichrist is going to walk into the rebuilt temple after the Dome of the Rock has been blown up, and he's going to do something that causes it to be an abomination? So that's what you're taught. But Yeshua says you'll see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel standing in the holy place. Well, Luke brings it around and makes it very, 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 very easy and clear. When we get over to Luke chapter 21, you can hear me turning the pages of the Bible, and at no time do my fingers leave my hands. Luke 21 and verse number 20. And when you shall see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, know that the desolation thereof is at hand. Folks, when you look at it from the scripture, it's very, very clear that the abomination of desolation is the destruction of Jerusalem. The abomination of desolation is the Roman army surrounding Jerusalem. When you see the abomination of desolation, Yeshua said, Luke says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, when you see the city destroyed by the prince of the people that will come, which is that army that Luke referred to and Yeshua referred to, that is the abominations poured out upon the desolate. And you have to remember that they did, the Romans being they, did pour out desolations or abominations upon the desolate. They pulled every single stone of the temple apart. Not one stone was left upon the other. There's a couple reasons for that. Number one, the Jewish block masons put gold in the mortar in between all of the blocks. So there was a reason that the Romans wanted to dig out that mortar. They wanted to get the gold. And also, I believe, and this is just something that's intuitive, something that comes not from empirical understanding, but just a gut feeling, perhaps a little remote viewing, that the part of the abject, utter destruction, which was very unusual for the Romans. The Romans were very practical. The Romans were very pragmatic. When they took over things, they tried to do the least amount of damage, generally speaking. The least amount of damage, generally speaking. Not because they were good guys, but because they wanted to use the materiel that was there. They wanted to use the great structures. They wanted to use the magnificent architecture. And Titus himself actually highly coveted the temple. He wanted to present it to his father to be turned into a Roman temple. So Titus did not have a wish or a desire to destroy the temple, but he had to because circumstances dictated it. And also, I believe because they were there looking for something, it was the Ark of the Covenant. I don't know about that. But I think they were looking to destroy every single scrap piece, bit of the original Yeshua movement, and destroying the temple piece by piece could well have been part of that effort. So when you hear about the Dome of the Rock or the Mosque of Omar being destroyed, know that you're listening to end time money-making garbage. When you start hearing about a rebuilt temple, end-time money-making garbage. When you start hearing about Antichrist going into this rebuilt temple, garbage. When you start hearing about red heifers, garbage. This is all pitity. This is all man-made human doctrine. Its design is to take the focus off of the Roman Christian church as the focus of evil and false doctrine in the world, and I will prove that to you in the days and weeks and months to come. The idea is to take the pressure off Paul being identified as an agent of Rome, and the whole idea is to pull the wool over your eyes, as we said at the beginning of yesterday's show, and to keep you focused on the future and filled with fear, so you cannot focus and be filled with faith while you're right here and right now. It's all designed to get you and keep you from being all that you can be. I'll be here tomorrow at 10 a.m. again with the Fresh Daily Show. You can find me on Spreaker today at 12 o'clock for the Ask Questions, Question Answer Show. And tonight, the flagship, the Christian Whistleblower Show from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Check out jeffreydaugherty.com for more information. Until then, this is Jeffrey Daugherty, the Christian Whistleblower, wishing you peace and enlightenment.
Stay connected with the Christian Whistleblower at www.christianwhistleblower.com. On Facebook, follow Jeffrey Daugherty and Jeffrey Daugherty Show, and on Twitter at NC Kabbalah. Visit christianwhistleblower.com today to learn how to create yourself and to live the life you'll love.